Hi, Horror Honeys. We have an amazing deal for you from Adam and Eve, America's favorite adult store. Use our code HORROR for 50% off almost any item, plus free shipping. Yes, you heard that right. 50% off almost any item, plus free shipping. Head to adamandeve.com to find something special for yourself or someone else. That's code HORROR, H-O-R-R-O-R, at checkout for 50% off plus free shipping. Order now and get ready to
Hello, everyone.
Hello, passengers.
Ooh, welcome to an episode of I'm Horrified.
Hop on the bus.
Beware the closing doors.
Yeah.
If we're doing public transit metaphors.
Hop on the wagon.
Be careful of the squeaky train if
Boston. Come with us on a journey.
That's a Boston reference for anyone in the Boston area.
Oh, squeaky train?
Squeaky train.
Yeah, the MBTA squeaky train.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm so glad that I don't take that train anymore.
I miss it sometimes.
Why?
It was just such a really, it's a really potent memory. Like, the squeak really does stay with you.
Same. It is a potent memory for me, which is why I wish to scrub it out of my brain.
For anyone not from the Boston area, our MBTA, our underground transit, there is one station, Boylston Station, and when the trains pull into Boylston Station, they make a turn, and it squeaks comically loud.
It's so loud.
It's incredibly loud. And it's become like a meme of just like the squeaky train at Boylston. And where Allie and I went to college and lived, Boylston was our T-stop.
That's our stop.
So we were hearing squeaky train 24/7, 365.
Sometimes it would like wake me out of a stupor. Yeah. If I had sort of napped a little bit on the train.
And I do miss it a little bit. There's one, have you ever seen Jed on TikTok?
No.
There's a guy on TikTok who's just, like, very monotone, but talks all about the MBTA, and he's like, today I'm going to be riding all the way to the end of the red line. Let's see what I discover there. And then it's just, like, slow videos of him on the train, and he's like, we were delayed for 40 minutes.
That sounds like, about right.
But he just made the squeaky sound a downloadable ringtone, and I'm really considering going there.
Oh. I'm going to, like, drop my water glass next time you get a text message and be like, fuck!
No, as if I just aren't on vibrate all the time on my phone.
So
who,
true.
Who has a ringtone anymore?
I don't even remember what my phone sounds like.
Oh my God.
Could be anything.
Allie, what are we talking about this week? I'm so sorry that I took us on a quick detour.
No, no, please, please.
About the train.
So here's what happened.
Yeah, there's a whole story even leading
here's
up to this story.
Here's what happened. I liked a suggestion from my dad.
Mm-hmm. Shout out.
Dennis.
Shout out.
He suggested we talk about timeshares. I thought that's a really good one.
That's horrifying.
I really want to learn more about that. And I think it would also be fascinating because I've heard it's a nightmare. I started researching it. And for whatever reason, you know when you're just like not, you can't, your brain will not connect
it's not
to
clicking.
Subject matter.
Yes.
For some reason, and we're doing a big like batch recording right now. So I was like, I was already at your house. We're here now. It was last night, and I was like trying to finish up this episode, and I was like, it is not, the magic is not happening for me right now.
It's not clicking.
So I want to say to my dad that that episode will come.
It will.
But what is here today is the product of me deciding to do an episode in a fugue state last night around 2 a.m.
No.
So.
Allison.
Well, I don't want you guys to think that you're just coming into some nonsense and that I'm not, you know, a seasoned journalist.
She is.
Which
she
is what I call myself, much to my actual journalist husband's chagrin. I wish he was in the room. You'd be like, that's not it. That's not true.
He has to speak up.
But I would like to tell you today the story of the Enfield Monster.
Ooh.
And I just found out, I was Googling a date quickly before we started this. I put like Enfield in the in Google and the Enfield Poltergeist came up.
Different.
And that was in like England. It was like a totally different thing. And I was like, I don't want people to be like, oh, the Enfield Poltergeist. We really want to hear about that. This is not that.
It's not that.
This is not that.
This feels like part three or part one of a potential three-part episode. Part one, the Enfield Monster. Part two, the Enfield Poltergeist. Part three, timeshares.
Finally, timeshares. So as I started poking into this, I just want to preface, I found a particular article. Now, usually my standard practice is to read as many resources as I can find and splice them together into a cohesive narrative conversation, mm-hmm. if you will. You guys have been here. Yeah. You know what we do.
That's the vibe.
I read online a copy of a paper called The Reading Eagle.
Ooh.
A local Indiana newspaper from August 22nd, 1973, which was several months after the Enfield Monster incident, which was in April of 1973. So this is a couple months after. They've got all the goods.
Still fresh.
It just knocks it out of the fucking park. It is so great. And the article is called Monster is Poo-Pooed. And it's by Chris, and it's by Chris Detrow, whoever.
And we love you, Chris Detrow.
And he gave us a gift today, and I will be bringing that gift to you. It is, frankly, the only version of the events I'm interested in.
Yes.
If there's other pertinent information, I don't want to hear it.
I don't want to hear it. I've done that, too. Sometimes you just read an article so good, you're like, I will credit this, but what I have to do is just basically tell everybody this article and tell them to read it.
I need you to know what I know.
Yeah.
I need you to hear what I've heard. And this story is, in a way, how do I put this? Dull.
Interesting.
And unexciting.
You're not saying it.
but in a more important way, it reveals something within us that yearns for new discovery.
Wow.
A little. I mean.
So it's dull, unimportant.
Poorly researched.
Poorly researched, but yearning.
But yearning.
I'm up for that.
The monster is poo-pooed, Sam. That's the title of it.
That's a solid title.
That's the title of it.
That's a really... All right. All right, tell me all about it. I gotta know.
It starts off, Enfield, Illinois. It all started down here a couple of weeks ago. I'm gonna do a slight transatlantic accent. I don't think that that's actually accurate to the time period at all.
No,
this is the 1970s, so it's very inaccurate.
I think that kind of works because it could read as a little bit coked out.
Sure. Which I'm sure Chris Detrow was. Is he alive? Can we find him?
Google him right now.
No, you gotta listen.
Okay.
Put the phone down.
I'll put the phone down.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
It all started down here a couple of weeks ago. Down here in Enfield, in White County, Illinois. When this good old boy, Henry McDaniel, heard this scratching at his front door. That's how he spelled it. Scratching with like a little asterisk after the N. And those are his words. He's not quoting anyone.
I'd love to get your journalist husband in here and hear from him if he's ever spelled anything phonetically like scratching.
Maybe he can copy edit this.
Yeah, maybe he can help.
He heard this scratching at his front door. He opened his door and saw, well, he saw this critter.
A critter?
Yeah. He's drawing me in.
He really is. This is a great opening.
And it looked nothing, again, nothing. He's like writing a script for like a southern like
radio play
or something. And it looked like nothing Henry had ever seen before. Or like nothing you or me had ever seen either, for that matter. Henry says that it was about 4 to 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And was covered with gray fur.
Okay.
And it had a good sized wide head. Common enough so far. What? What do you mean, common enough so far? What the fuck would that be?
That's feeling quite uncommon to me, personally.
Then it started sounding a little different.
I know this is Indiana, but perhaps we should be doing it with, like, a South Carolina drawl? Like, maybe that's the voice he's
going
for?
I'm gonna move through it, and we'll see if we can find Chris Detrow in here, right?
I would love that.
This is a quote from the good old boy, Henry McDaniel himself.
The good old boy himself.
I shined my flashlight on it and saw these two eyes, about 3 inches apart, kind of glowing red or pink back at me, like truck reflectors. And it had 3 legs, right in a row, standing there just like a man. Its arms were short and stubby, Henry recalls. So the entire thing sounds, I don't even know what he could be referring to.
Yeah, it's
furry and short and gray. With red eyes.
I'm having trouble envisioning it, for sure.
Right.
Three legs. Interesting.
That was on April 25th, and Henry says he saw the same thing standing on the B&O railroad tracks outside his house again on May 6th. Well, you'd think that with a critter like this running round loose, again, his own words, a journalist, the whole town of Enfield, population 750, about 30 miles from Kentucky as the crow flies, would either be shivering in their shorts behind locked doors.
Shivering in their shorts!
Shivering in their shorts behind locked doors, or else fielding a small army to go out and look for it. Not so. In fact, nobody is really doing anything. Because nobody, well, almost nobody, believes Henry. So why is this in the news?
Yeah. Absolutely. That feels like a very Massachusetts attitude of just like, well, if it's not bothering me, it's not bothering me.
This thing happened, but nobody cares.
Yeah. We're all fine with it.
To find out how the townspeople feel about Henry's monster, you don't have to do much except sit. Somebody will bring it up.
Oh, interesting.
So I think he just, like, went to a diner in the town and, like, was like, what's up with this fucking monster? Or I guess he didn't even have to say that. They were like, welcome to town. Have you heard about this fucking monster that Henry won't stop talking about? So this is him quoting someone that he spoke to. I hate to dispute somebody's word on something like that, says the waitress at Echo Cafe and Motel.
Give her a name.
She's the waitress. And also, it's like, why is she worthy of being quoted in this article? Like, what does she have to do with this?
And if she is worthy, then give her a name.
I hate to dispute somebody's word on something like that, but I doubt it. The Echo Cafe and Motel looks to be just about the most modern business in Enfield. I think that's a shade.
Yeah, it seems like a roast.
And it isn't really in Enfield, but is a mile south of town at the intersection of Route 45 and 460. Has all the excitement helped business any? Nah, not a bit, she said, with a disgruntled shake of her head. You'd think it would have, though, wouldn't you? I think it's about all over now, anyway. I heard the sheriff told him he'd better not be seeing any more monsters out there. Or he'd be off to the funny farm, and somebody said he's left town.
Oh. So the sheriff just went up to this guy and was like, stop seeing things.
Stop.
That was mental health care in the 70s.
It's mental health care now.
Stop it.
Somebody else asked her if they'd caught the monster yet. No, but if we do, we're going to butcher him and eat him. Fucking love this waitress.
Oh my God.
White County Sheriff Roy Posher Jr. Finally, he's talking to a police officer. Like, he started with a waitress. Like, who just was probably... I mean, I'm not saying the waitress doesn't have things to say. It's just like, why is she worthy of sourcing in a news article, yeah. I guess.
And again, then if she's worthy of sourcing, give us her name.
Give us her name. A young sheriff with thick, muscular arms and chest.
He wants to fuck this sheriff.
He wants to fuck the sheriff, I think. He's like, I don't give a fuck about that waitress. You want to know who I'm interested in? Fucking okay, Sheriff Roy Posher Jr.
Quick pitch. Romance novel. A reporter trying to make their name in the world goes to a small town to report on what they think is a human interest piece, but falls in love with the sheriff and solves the mystery.
That's unethical journalism, though. You're not supposed to sleep with people while you're getting a story.
Well, maybe she doesn't sleep with him till after. Or he doesn't sleep with her. Or he doesn't sleep with him. Or she does. I don't know what the genders are yet. I just think it could be sexy.
I agree.
They confess their love to each other, and then a 4-foot tall gray monster
murders one of them, and the other one's like, no!
Her, if you were so hot.
So anyways, the sheriff does make a comment on it. No, there ain't a damn thing to it, he says flatly. I let all that stuff go on until he got people with guns out there.
Oh my God.
Then I went out and told him, if I hear any more from out of here, I'm hauling you in. He literally went out into the field where people had loaded guns ready to shoot into the woods at the sign of any noise and was like, you can't do this. You
cannot do this.
You just can't do this. He did haul in 5 monster hunters May 8th and fined them for hunting violations. Nothing, especially monsters, is in season anyways.
That's so funny.
That's a nice joke. Good job. What's his name? Chris? Chris Detrow?
See, he's hot and funny.
No, that's the police officer who's funny.
Yeah.
He said that, not the police officer.
Oh, Chris Detrow said the joke about the monsters journalist not is being in season.
Well, he's not impartial at this point. He's like, he's basically writing a little play.
He really is.
He's not just giving us the information.
He's writing a romance
novel. So no, he's joking around with us. He is getting very voicey on here. This is fucking Vanity Fair. You go into Enfield expecting to hear a little more on the monster. Reba Trapp, doesn't explain who she is, thinks they're, quote, making a mountain out of a molehill. She owns Reba's Cafe. Okay, she owns Reba's Cafe. Which shares a building with a Gulf gasoline station. I ordered from a menu above the counter that said, no swearing allowed, be good or be gone.
Love that.
I know. I put that, like, why, live, laugh, love, my ass.
Yeah.
Reba has been there a long time. A truck driver was sharing the latest on the monster. The information he was telling the other patrons at Reba's consisted on an account of a University of Illinois anthropology student recording a screech and his assessment that it might have come from a type of ape.
Ooh.
I think I'm going to apply for hazardous driving pay every time I come to Enfield, he said. But he wasn't serious. They're just having a good time. At this point,
in this story, everyone is having a blast.
They're just...
maybe except for the man who saw the monster.
They've got, you know, they're sitting at Reba's Cafe. They've got sort of soda pops and egg creams all around, and they're making fun of this mentally ill man. And it seems like they're having a great time.
In the 70s, you could just have a bunch of people drinking milkshakes and making fun of the mentally ill.
Oh my god. Sounds like a good time to me. Mrs. McDaniel, so now...
another source.
No. Mrs. McDaniel.
Oh.
So Henry McDaniel's wife. And this is just a wild, wild... an attractive, olive-skinned mother of three.
Does this reporter want to have a threesome with Mrs. McDaniel and
how
the sheriff?
How many people in this town did he fuck? He's the monster. He's going around wreaking havoc, laying waste sexually to this town.
Destroying marriages.
She was in the house when Henry saw his monster, and she's glad she didn't see it. McDaniel, a disabled World War II veteran... I know, it's just... you keep me learning more about McDaniel. Has two guns in the house. A little .22, which he says makes a pretty good hole, now sits by the door, just in case.
No.
The other one is in the bedroom, where McDaniel once shot a hole through his wall at something that was fooling round out back of his house. It might have been that thing then. I don't know. No, you don't know. You don't know Henry McDaniel.
We were kind of joking earlier, like, so he's mentally ill, he saw this monster. He's a World War II veteran.
Maybe we're the ones sharing...
maybe we were right.
Sharing an egg cream and making fun of the mentally ill.
Oh my god.
You can't pick up guns and shoot into the woods, though.
No, you cannot.
You just can't do that.
You cannot. What if that had been one of your three children you had with your beautiful olive-skinned wife?
That's the most likely scenario. He got his gun and a flashlight and went outside where the wind was blowing strongly. He spotted something between two rose bushes to the left of a big maple tree in his front yard. When he got to within about 8 feet of the thing, he shined his light right in its eyes. That's when the light came back pink at him, and that's when Henry fired the gun 4 times. And he's sure he hit the thing once.
So he's wounded it. So wait, so he had, like, a flashlight on it, and then, like, a pink light was reflected back?
I think he was saying its eyes were pink.
Its eyes were pink.
So that's what he saw.
Interesting.
Maybe
interesting.
He's saying that the creature shot light beams out of its eyes.
Maybe. Laser beams.
Maybe that's more likely for him to be describing.
I don't know. Either way, whoa.
He says, it just hissed. That's how it sounded. And then it jumped into those weeds over there, Henry said, pointing to some thick growth. And then it jumped again over that ditch, and then a third time onto the tracks. I never did see it turn, it just jumped. The total distance from the rose bushes to the B&O tracks is about 75 feet.
Oh!
All around the tracks is scrub brush and undergrowth, so thick you could dump a body in it, and they'd not find it for a year.
Yikes!
Then, and also, like, what a weird way to describe bushes.
Yes.
Just
say thick.
Then Henry jumped the ditch and got on the tracks and shined his light. By the time Henry had gone about 80 feet, the thing had gone, bootin' and scootin', a good 40 yards down, to where the tracks curved. Booting and scooting.
This journalist is having the time of his life. He is fucking everybody in this town. He's booting and scooting in and out of their beds.
He's snorting tablespoons of cocaine off of his desk.
He really is.
Laying into his typewriter. Having a good time.
Fucking spelunking.
He's smoking a cigarette and writing an erotic letter to Mrs. McDaniel.
Yes.
And the police officer.
And one to the sheriff.
Right. The state police had somebody here in a hurry, says Mrs. McDaniel, who's just probably so tired. Like, she's like, I just want to go a night without him shooting something in the house.
I mean, what we know about her is she's married to this World War II veteran.
She's gorgeous.
She has three children and she's gorgeous.
And she's like, I'm too gorgeous for this to be happening. My beautiful olive skin. The state police had somebody here in a hurry, says Mrs. McDaniel, but they didn't produce any monster. His tracks and some fur on the bushes were all that were left, McDaniel says. Station WWKI in Kokomo, Indiana, sent a guy down for 2 days. Rick Rainbow. Yes, Rick Rainbow. Now, I had to pause here because I was like, who the fuck is that? And I assumed it was like a celebrity or something. He's like, yes, we got Rick Rainbow. It's literally just the producer of the radio station.
That's all he is.
So
he's maybe commenting on what a fun name he has.
But maybe it's like, you know, we're from Boston. It's like Maddie in the Morning. Everyone would know who that is.
Oh my
like,
God,
it's so weird that Maddie in the Morning went to, you know, the scene of this murder. I guess they would mention that.
Yeah, fair. Maddie in the Morning was there.
Rick Rainbow was there? Are you fucking kidding? And he supposedly recorded the same type screech recorded by the university student. Henry McDaniel says when he saw the monster, it didn't do anything but give a loud, short hiss. And that only when he shot it. When Rainbow came to Enfield, he brought Ed Phillips with him. Ed owns a pet shop in Kokomo, and McDaniel says that he is a big game hunter. He brought tranquilizer guns and other monster hunting paraphernalia. What?
You know, your monster hunting paraphernalia.
Which would consist of?
You know, tranquilizer guns.
Normal guns. Oh my God.
A snack.
Snacks. But never got to use them. That's because Poshard, the cop, put a stop to any and all monster hunting. This one, like, sheriff in the town is like, you can't do this here.
You cannot do this here.
I don't know why this is, everyone's doing this, but like, you can't be here right now. You can't have these guns out. Rainbow says that he also saw what he thought was a monster in an open end of an abandoned shed near Springerton, north of Enfield. He says it was 5 to 5.5 feet tall and was gray-black in color. But nobody believes Rainbow either. And Rainbow seems to have some
And Rainbow has
cred.
Some pull.
He has some pull.
So now the monster, in theory, has been seen by two people.
Theoretically.
Okay.
The newest lead on the monster came from Murtis Fields. Great name.
Really excellent name.
Murtis. So Murtis is entering the picture. She's the Enfield town treasurer. Let's get the treasurer on this.
Oh, yeah.
And also the stringer for the Carmi newspaper and radio station WROY. She got a letter addressed to the publisher of the Enfield newspaper. Murtis is not the publisher of the Enfield newspaper because there isn't a newspaper in Enfield.
What?
But she opened the letter anyways. Like, somebody wanted to get information about the Enfield monster to an Enfield newspaper, so they just addressed it to the Enfield newspaper. And Murtis was like, we don't have one.
So I'll just open it.
But I'm gonna open it.
I have a bunch of other jobs.
So that's what she did. It was from Alan Yorkshire of Elyria, Ohio. He thinks the monster is his pet kangaroo, Macy, who was lost or stolen over a year ago, and he is offering a $500 reward for information leading to the capture of his kangaroo.
Honestly, that doesn't sound too far off.
And is supposed to come to Enfield. So, like, at first, like, you think a crazy guy is like, that's my kangaroo. But maybe it is.
Maybe it's his kangaroo.
And it's like he named it Macy.
4 or 5 feet tall, gray.
And he's offering a $500 reward for information leading to her recapture.
Really good at jumping.
Yeah. So maybe he's like, he misses her. Yeah. And I wish that they could be reunited.
I'm getting shot at by this poor veteran.
I know. Like, that's the saddest thing about this. But, you know, like, let's get back on track here. Henry doesn't think he'll show up, though. And even if he does, it won't do him any good, because Henry's sure it's not a kangaroo.
Okay.
I used to have one as a pet myself, he says.
What? There's two people in the 70s within a few miles of each other?
He's like, I'd know if it's a kangaroo. I would know. I had one. I had a kangaroo.
How common were kangaroos as pets in the 70s?
Kangaroos, so he goes on to, like, act as, like, an expert. Until I sold it to this fella that had an animal show, the kangaroo tracks have claw marks, and a kangaroo has a narrow face. This wasn't no kangaroo.
Okay.
Henry. The treatment he's getting from the rest of the town bothers Henry and his wife. And a derogatory poem is being circulated about Henry and the monster, which makes McDaniel wonder. Which I just tried so hard to find it. I can't find it. If somebody can find it.
They don't publish
the derogatory poem. They don't publish the poem. I wish they did. It's probably somebody like scrawling in a bathroom like, Henry McDaniel's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
quote, they think I'm crazy, he said. I can't help what I saw. But it's not my problem. If that thing kills somebody, it just isn't my problem. He's washing his hands of this.
And as he should.
He's saying I did what I could.
He did. He
should. And I went to that gorgeous police officer.
Yes.
I went to that hot, ripped police officer. I looked him square in the eyes and I told him what's going on. Yeah. So if somebody loses their head over this.
And now I'm going back home to my beautiful olive-skinned wife. And
I'm
going to
go make peace with my God over this.
And then make love to my wife.
Make love to my wife. Maybe the police officer if he's into it.
If he's interested.
Why
doesn't his wife get a first name?
Mrs. McDaniel. It's Mrs. McDaniel. That is her first name.
I don't like this.
It's 1976, Sam.
I don't like it.
73?
What year is it?
So he says, I can't help what I saw, but it's not my problem. If that thing kills somebody, it just isn't my problem. If I see it again, though, I'm going to call the FBI, not the sheriff. The sheriff's let him down.
Not the sheriff. He's distractingly gorgeous.
There's other people that's seen it too. They just ain't saying anything.
Ooh.
And I swear to God, the last line of this article, with no commentary afterwards or before, is just, quote, I just wish all this was over, said Mrs. McDaniel.
Oh.
She's just like, please stop doing
this. But
what
the article doesn't say is that she said that post-sex with the journalist in a bed smoking a cigarette.
I know.
And she was like,
beside me in the motel, Mrs. McDaniel rolled over, her eyes sparkling.
I just wish this was all over.
Yeah, so there's nothing I can tell you more, except later, like a few years later in 1978, researchers at Western Illinois University, led by David L. Miller, investigated the incident, not for truth, but for a study of the concept of social contagion.
Oh.
Like a psychiatric concept that, like, small, unfounded claims blow up due to, like, sensationalism and, like, the susceptibility of our brains to hysteria. And I will quote from his study. In this area of southern Illinois, it is not unreasonable to assume Mr. M or the radio news team had actually seen an animal. People we interviewed framed the recent events in these terms. Their accounts admitted the possibility that a large dog, calves, bears, deer, and wildcats had been sighted. Some frames suggested that an exotic pet, such as an ape or kangaroo, I don't think the ape thing, I think somebody heard a sound and was like, that's an ape.
Mm.
So I don't know if ape needs to, like, enter the, like, it could have been an ape. Like, I don't know.
But again, it seems like some people had some really wild pets.
If you had access to a kangaroo, wouldn't you have access to an ape?
Exactly.
That was the catalyst for the monster reports. Finally, some people tactfully suggested that Mr. M had a notoriously overactive imagination and had probably been shooting at shadows. In any event, we interviewed only one person who agreed with Mr. McDaniel's claim that he had indeed, quote, seen a monster from outer space.
From outer space?
I think that was his point all along.
Ah.
It was like, this is
an alien.
This
monster.
Is an alien monster. And you know what, Western Illinois University? Make that two people. Because I believe him.
Wow.
I'm convinced. He got to me. The sheriff wouldn't listen. This is going to be like Serial, where like I think that we can crack it.
I think we'll
bring it back. And I think that this is going to be not unlike, you know, the many people who are like, you know, you all laughed at me. And we don't know that there's not an Enfield monster out there.
We don't.
So
start the tinkly piano music. I'll get my NPR voice.
We're going to rebrand.
Yes.
If the Enfield Monster has one fan, it's me. If the Enfield Monster has zero fans, I'm dead.
I am dead.
All right? So, you know what? I believe.
Wow.
Faith is about believing what you cannot see. And nobody saw this monster.
The Father, the Son, and the Enfield Monster. Amen.
Amen. So that is the story of the Enfield Monster.
Oh my gosh.
Not the Enfield Poltergeist, as I made clear earlier. I have no idea what that's about.
So no closure on, like, it was really this.
Absolutely not.
Wow.
No idea.
Wow.
And Mrs. McDaniel would prefer you don't ask again.
And Mrs. McDaniel, I know that she would prefer
Mrs. McDaniel, if she's alive, may not like us bringing it up again.
No, she probably won't. I imagine, like, her grandkid being like, oh my god, Nana, like, listen to this.
Like, Meemaw, come listen.
Like, oh my fucking god.
She's like, did they have to bring it up?
Yeah. They're like, how'd they know that I fucked the reporter and the sheriff in a threesome?
Also, why are they so loud and talk so inappropriately?
No swearing.
Dear god, there's no way, but if you have any connection or memory or belief about, send us anything about the Enfield Monster. Yeah. Have you even heard of this? Has anyone heard of this?
I've never heard of this before. I'd love, if anyone has any connection to any, like, cryptid stuff. Any,
oh my
like,
god.
Fucking I Saw Sasquatch. Cryptid. Or Mothman, any of it.
Absolutely.
We haven't gotten too into cryptids on this show, but I would be totally willing to.
No time like the present to start.
Oh my god. Next time, maybe we'll talk more about some of these weird monsters.
Let's rock and roll.
Let's do it. I don't believe most of them exist. That's my unfortunate. It'd be funner if I did really think they existed.
I don't know if I believe in anything.
Talk more about that.
Should we shut the recorder off or should we keep it running and then I can just send it directly to my therapist?
You're like, it all started with my baptism.
They poured the water on and I was like, yikes, cold.
Yeah, this isn't fun at all.
Yeah, I don't think, no, I can't go back on it.
Yeah, you don't think it's real?
I don't want people to know that I doubted it.
Okay, I'll sell them you were a true believer.
The Enfield Monster is out there.
I believe you. Or do I?
And it might be, maybe it is a kangaroo that, I think the other idea behind the kangaroo is like, it has a tail.
Yeah.
So, three legs. I'm losing steam.
No, I think the three legs is a really good point. Yeah.
That's a good point.
I think the kangaroo is probably the most, the option we've talked about that makes the most sense to me is that it was a kangaroo.
And that someone specifically was looking for a kangaroo.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if somebody was just like, I think it might have been a kangaroo, I'd be like,
no,
idiot.
Yeah.
Idiot. But Macy.
I'm looking for my kangaroo.
Macy was the kangaroo's name.
And it sounds like Macy was not reunited with
their owner. That's the most upsetting part of this.
That's really
maybe
sad.
Maybe that they were reunited, but it just wasn't newsworthy.
It would be huge news for me personally.
I mean, this guy was coked out of his mind. Definitely. He's gonna be fired.
I mean, everyone in this story, except maybe the sheriff, are coked just to high heavens.
That's my favorite part, I think, of the whole story. Is all these people are, like, running around, like, after Frankenstein's monster. And he's like, you can't do this.
You cannot.
Can't have all of these guns and shoot into the darkness.
You cannot do it.
There are children in this town. He was fighting the good fight.
He was doing his. And you know what?
And he
good
was,
for him.
And he was gorgeous.
And he was sexy while he was
Everyone in
it.
This town is hot.
Except for the monster.
I guess we'll never know.
We'll never know. Yeah, some people want to fuck cryptids, so maybe.
If you want to fuck cryptids, email us at imhorrifiedpodcast@gmail.com.
If you want to fuck cryptids, leave us a 5-star review and just mention that in the review.
Say whatever you want if you give us a 5-star review. That's fine. You get to speak your truth.
That was a...
Thank you for listening.
What a tale, Allie. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that you had to go into a 2 a.m. fugue state to bring it to us.
Truly, don't thank me. Thank Chris Detrow, wherever he is. I'm sure he's dead.
He's gotta be dead.
He's gotta be dead.
Let me Google him. Now that I'm not listening to you, we'll cut out the pause as I Google, but let me Google Chris.
Indiana journalism.
Detrow, Indiana journalist. Let's just see what comes up. He's not immediately coming up, but fair enough.
This journalist isn't immediately rising to the top of a Google search?
I know. Well, I hope he's well, wherever he is.
I'll make some calls.
Yeah, let's find out.
I'll make some calls.
Can we commission your husband, who's also a journalist, to find this journalist?
I mean, I live with him. So it's like...
Maybe.
Maybe.
All right. Everyone, that'll be part 4 of this. So it'll be the Enfield Monster, the Enfield Poltergeist, timeshares, and then update, where is Chris Detrow?
And by that point, we'll be on, like, MSNBC.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we'll have brought it all back.
That'll be our Serial-esque podcast, is just finding this journalist and asking him questions.
Ooh, just gotta wait. We gotta wait, plant those seeds.
And as
and then we get to harvest, right?
And as we wait for those seeds to be harvested, bye-bye, horror honeys.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production, recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at I'm Horrified Pod and at I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicast, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.